Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, time now for That's Your Opinion with Chicken Smooch. Another episode is on the way here. Fred, good to see you, by the way. What's going on with you? What's going on in your life, Fred?
Good to see you. Not good to see those Terps, those Maryland Terrapin hats I see all over the place. That's just my opinion. But, you know, good to see you, Chick. I miss you when I don't see you. Talk to you, bro.
All right, so Fred is referencing, for those who can't see what's going on right now, is I'm wearing my Terrapin hat, and I didn't do it because of our guest, but it just so happens that I'm wearing it. So joining us now, and of course our producer Cy Femick is smiling because he's got a Syracuse sheet eating grin on his face right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure why.
Yep. They're not doing anything in basketball. Our guest is a guy that I covered when I was in school, and he was in school at the University of Maryland in College Park, and then went on to an illustrious career in the National Basketball Association, the one, the only Tony Massenburg, who I used to work with NBC Sports Washington. So, Tony, welcome to That's Your Opinion. I want to get the numbers right, and it's always difficult for me with your NBA career. So what, through vast studying of the internet on Google, what I've come up with is 14 years actually in the league and 13 different teams and two teams twice.
Okay, here's what it really is. It's 12 teams in the league, and it's 13 years. But now it's skewed. Let me tell you how that happened, Chick, because a lot of people don't know this story. The reason I have 12 teams on my resume is because I did four in 1 year. Yeah, I did four. Listen, let me tell you what happened.
Could you not keep a job?
I was released by San Antonio, like in the beginning of the season. And then I did two 10 days. One with Golden State, one with Boston, and then I had a two-month stint in Charlotte. That counted for a total of four teams just in that year alone.
Well, it sounds like my dating record.
Yeah, I heard about you. It does.
Who hasn't? Who hasn't? He's an all-star in the dating game.
Yeah, man. Smoothie man.
Hey, you got to be good at something in this world. You know, I always tell y'all, and this is just my opinion, that y'all, you know what? I give y'all so much props because y'all had the worst mascot of all time, but y'all pull together and y'all still seem to create these athletes from Maryland. How do y'all pull together as a turtle and think y'all tough? That's not intimidating. But you know what? I give y'all props because y'all manage y'all way through it for at least 3 or 4 years and y'all turn out to be great pros.
Hey, man, let me explain something to you, brother. Whenever you see a turtle, all you got to know is it's hell in a shell, baby. That's all you need to know. It's hell in a shell. That's all you need to know. That's why we NFL, NBA, we all over the place.
I mean, who won the race? The tortoise or the rabbit?
We know the rabbit really won. A human wrote that book.
No. Hey, the rabbit didn't win, Smoot.
The rabbit really won. All right, let me ask you this. Do y'all, even when we read the Bible, do y'all literally read it and understand it, or do you read it? Because think about this. Noah. He left everybody. Do nobody understand that? He literally got all the animals and left all the people.
Okay. So what's your point?
The point is, just because y'all call yourself hells in the shell don't mean that's the way we look at it. Because if I had came and I had a game against the Turtles, I'd be like, guys, y'all come. I had to talk to my team. We got to face a couple of Turtles today. Let's take it a little easy on them. Well, let's make them feel us. I just don't see a rallying call. Where's the rallying call in the Turtle?
Let me ask you a question, Fred. Has Mississippi State won a national championship in basketball?
Woo! Our girls just won 2 years ago. What are you talking about?
I mean, so you got to lean on the girls.
Listen to me. Are they not part of the Mississippi State family?
I mean, okay. Yeah, sure.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Sure. All right.
Let me ask you this, Mook. Did you play for the girls team while you were there?
I tried to. They say I could. I tried to. They say I could. But at the end of the day, we've been into what? In the last 4 years, we've been to 2 Final Fours. The girls have. All right. The football team, we always putting out pros. We actually got better pros in the league than Alabama. All right, if you really want to go head to head with you, okay. We got better pros. That's just the way it is. All right, and let's not talk baseball. Lord, let's not talk baseball. But last time I checked, I haven't seen an athlete beside what, Stephon Diggs, the last turtle, to do anything.
No, we've got a bunch of guys, a bunch of DBs come out.
Come on,
out
man,
and
we
play
got
well.
Too many people to name. Right now.
A bunch of what? I hear a bunch of lies every day, chick. How about you tell me some of those turtles? Who besides Stephon Diggs? Who?
I'm gonna have to go. I'll have to look at it now because I know that there's guys.
Yeah,
because
it's too many of them. I can't remember.
It's too many.
Them all.
Yeah.
Too many. I mean, we're putting somebody in the league every year, Smooth. Every year.
The lie don't care who tell it. I was told that in church.
That's, you know, we used to be called Quarterback U, for heaven's sake.
There you go. Right,
Yannick Ngakoue,
sure. There's a couple guys. I'll have to look it up while we're talking here. But we got Tony Massenburg.
He ain't no Montez Sweat. He ain't no Chris Jones. He ain't no Jeffrey Simmons. He ain't no KJ Wright. He ain't no Dak Prescott. You want me to keep going? He ain't none of them.
Oh, we got history now, Smooth. You don't want to do the history. We got all-time greats in the history now.
Hey, yeah. but Lynn Bias, that's all y'all want to throw in people's face.
No,
every time
no, I'm
you
not
want to talk
about
Maryland sport, you want to throw Lynn Bias up in there. That's it.
Smooth, for
about?
Real? Basketball, that's all you going to give us?
I ain't going to do that. Y'all
ain't no
do
Walt
have
Williams?
In basketball.
Ain't no Walt Williams? What, no Walt Williams?
I know Walt Williams.
No
I know Walt.
Chris
I know
Wilcox.
Walt. Durwan Dixon. Who don't
Lonnie
know Durwan Dixon?
Steve Blake? Huh? Come on, man.
Yeah, Steve right. Blake lasted a while.
It don't sound like North Carolina to me, but I take it.
I'll give you a list here.
Doesn't sound like Mississippi State either.
Anthony McFarlane, Antoine Brooks, Pittsburgh Steelers, Derwin Gray in 2019, Ty Johnson, Byron Cowart, Darnell Savage for the Green Bay Packers. That's just to name a few. DJ Moore for the Panthers.
Dominique Foxworth? He was pretty solid for a while.
Don Davis. Yeah, uh-huh. Whatever.
Uh-huh.
All right, so look, we got Tony on here. We're done talking Maryland, for heaven's sakes. Listen, if you guys want to talk females, we can talk about the fact that the Washington football team just dumped their cheerleaders. What's wrong with your squad, Fred?
Hey, nothing. We're just trying to make changes. We went forward thinking. We said, you know what?
That is
cheerleaders, that's being feminist. How about we let the men dance if they want to dance and the women dance?
I heard it's going to be co-ed, Fred, so you're going to have some men out there dancing for you.
That's what I'm telling you. So guess what? We're forward thinking here at the Washington. Put it like this. We ain't even got a name. All we do is show up and play football. Like, that's all we care about.
Hey, that's all I care about.
Could you have at least told the cheerleaders this was coming instead of them finding out on Twitter?
Well,
that's
you know.
That's
is
horrible,
that how dude. That happened, Chick?
That's how they found out. That's horrible, Fred. Horrible.
That is horrible.
Hey, come on, Tony, you know this. As an athlete, you could be looking at ESPN and just realize you got traded.
That is true.
They're trading the cheerleaders right now. All right, so Tony does a lot of things, one of which is to work with NBC Sports Washington on the Wizards broadcast. So you've had a chance to get a feel for the trade, John Wall for Russell Westbrook. And we have started to see, obviously, the tandem of Bradley Beal and Westbrook start to work well together. Who, in this early stage or halfway through almost this NBA season, who's come out on the better end of this deal?
Well, based off the way the Wizards have played the last 2 weeks, I'm going to say the Wizards came out with the better end of this deal. Now, let me tell you why. We realize that Russell Westbrook's not the 25, 26 point a night guy that he was in Oklahoma. We got that. We actually saw a little bit of him, coming down a little bit in Houston, right? But when he got here, we didn't realize for those first 10 to 15 games that he was actually injured. He didn't look good. He looked a little slow. He didn't have the explosiveness that we were used to, and he wasn't making shots. So we would later find out, say, game 14 or so, that he had been dealing with a quad injury. Well, he had getting over that quad injury, and as a result, he started to play better. And he's gone out of his way as a guy with major credentials, you know, former MVP, scoring, you know, all of that stuff.
Right.
But he's gone out of his way to be a real point guard to a tune of about 10 assists a game. Now, this is Russell Westbrook giving you 10 assists a game, a guy that's known for the triple doubles and known for scoring. But he's went out of his way, much like what I see Harden doing in Brooklyn, to be a quote-unquote real point guard. So there are times when he does still turn it over. But the fact that Russ is actually thinking pass when he comes down the court sometimes is a good thing. So the Wizards are better for that. And when I look at the way they play lately, him and Beal are starting to mesh. They just need some other guys to consistently start to come along for the ride.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I've always said I compared Russell Westbrook and John Wall. They was athletic point guards. All right.
Yep.
The guys that can they use their athleticism to score. All right. They're not, neither one of those guys is what you call a threat from the 3-point line. But when you look at Russ, you get a better rebounder, you get a better assist guy. And yep. I hate to say it, Russ is a true leader. I can see the difference in the locker room when it comes to a Russell Westbrook.
You would know that, Smoot.
Huh?
I said, you would know that. You know what it's like in the locker room. And you can tell by what you see out on the floor who's really leading who.
Yep, yep. You can see that and you can feel it. You can also, you can feel it through the other players. Now, if I told you, Tony, put your GM hat on. We need a third leg to this team. You can have anybody you want. Now, you know some of these guys are not tradable, meaning their team is not
tradable. Some guys are just not available. Their teams are not going to let them go.
Just not going to let them go. If you had a dream list of one or two guys you could add to this team right now, because when I look, I say I would rather have some more veteran presence coming off the bench. I would love to have a Jamal Crawford, somebody I can know that can light it up off the bench anytime, any of the starters are slow. If it was you, Tony, who would you put to be, you know, the big three is what you need. Who would you put to bring the big three? Because I wouldn't lean towards a Blake Griffin. I don't think he dunked in 6 years. And, you know, athleticism was his game. But I would add a third star to this team.
Well, let me do this because it's plenty of guys out there that I would love to see in a Wizards uniform, but it's not going to happen. KD being one.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had a dream and I woke up and we had KD in addition to Beal and Russ, because the three spot, listen to me, the three spot is where it's really been lacking for the Wizards. And that position is a position in the league that is of major value, because you're talking about a dude who classically is a great scorer, who's about anywhere from 6'8 to 6'10, that can handle the basketball, that can also defend, give you some rebounds, and most importantly, be a leader, a go-to guy at the three spot. I just think that's really one of the more dangerous positions in the league, especially with the league being so perimeter oriented now. I know the point guard spot gets all the love because that's the guy who has the ball and a lot of times is great if he's like a Steph Curry or Damian Lillard, where he can really burn you offensively, but at the same time distribute the ball and be the offensive facilitator. Not a lot of guys out there that can do that. And I think we're pretty solid in the backcourt. So if I had a dream pickup, it clearly would be KD, but it would be a small forward who could get his own shot, not be relying upon being set up. A small forward who would defend at a relatively high level, you know, a two-way guy.
Yeah.
And a guy that would give you that leadership when Russ or Brad goes to the bench, a guy that you can count on to give you at least 17 to 18 a night.
I think it sounds like you might be talking about Aaron Gordon from the Orlando Magic. All right, I think they're willing to move him as a piece right now. I think he can come in and kind of fit into that 18, 19 points plus defense. I think he would be one of those guys, or maybe a John Collins from Atlanta.
John Collins. Now, see, this is the thing. John Collins and Aaron Gordon are really two guys that play more four. They don't really play three. They're fours. But here's listen to what I'm saying, Smoot. That's not bad. Because if you could get one of those guys, you reinforce the front line, because those guys can also rebound a little bit. They play around the basket. They play, you know, strong around the basket. We don't have a real post presence right now. Robin Lopez is pretty good on the block when they feed him. He's got the one hook shot, but he doesn't have a plethora of moves that he can go to. Rui is okay, but he's still learning and still developing. He's been in the league 2 years and doesn't have a complete season on his belt yet. So he's been coming back from injuries that he dealt with his rookie year. And you know how that is, Smoke. You know, if you get hurt your rookie year and you don't get to develop at the pace that everybody else does, then it carries over to the second year where you're still trying to find yourself. And I think that's what's happening with Rui. So if you bring in a high-quality forward, a guy that can stretch the floor out to, say, maybe 18, 19 feet, but is also effective around the basket, now maybe that allows guys like Denny Adia and even Rui to move to the three. And now you're talking about a real formidable front line because you got size and athleticism on the front line, which is clearly what you need to compete in today's NBA.
Bradley Beal leads the league in scoring by a full 3 points over Joel Embiid. Why? And he's been good for the last 5 years. Okay.
Yeah.
What is it about this year? Forget that he's scoring at this clip, but what is it about this year in the league's perception of him that he can now lead the freaking all-star voting? And it's like, not even there's nothing to worry about him being an all-star. What was it that prevented him from being that guy?
Oh, well, first of all, not winning games last year. They always hold that against guys when you don't win. And when you're not even really in it, you know, and that's the thing. The Wizards weren't really in it last year. So you don't get a lot of nationally televised games, which means you don't get the same coverage and attention as everybody else. The second thing is Brad came back this year with such an attitude because of how they did it last year to where it's like, okay, I can be top 10 in scoring and y'all still not pay any attention to me. But if I lead the league in scoring, right. You got to give me my props at some point. And so with the way he's played, what's amazing about Brad is that he's literally raised his level of play every year as a guy that we are watching. And that's a pro's pro. You know, anybody can come into the league and sort of rest on what they've done in college and you know, being drafted high. But at some point, that's going to play out because people are going to start to look for you to improve. If you notice, nobody has ever said that Bradley Beal needs to improve this or he needs to improve that. It's all happened naturally. When he got the opportunity to play with the ball in his hands last year with no John Wall there, that essentially enabled him to be a point guard. And not that he's a quintessential point, but he's a guy that can distribute the basketball while at the same time being a high-volume scorer and a very efficient one. I call Brad the most efficient high-volume scorer there is in the league because he doesn't take a lot of bad shots and it's not a lot of wasted motion in his game. So that's what he did. He set the league on notice to where you all can't say no to me this year.
And Tony, how do you feel about Scott Brooks at this point?
I think Scott Brooks, some people were looking at him early in the season and questioning some whether or not he was going to be able to get the most out of this group. But I think when you look at the fact that this is a team that dealt with more COVID issues than most teams in the league, they had significant injuries. I mean, literally, they were at a point in those first 5 to 10 games of the season where they were missing 6 of their 7 top guys. Now, if you do that to any team in the league, that's going to make them look pretty bad when you start to have to play first-year players and second-year players and guys that haven't gotten a whole lot of experience against, you know, seasoned teams. So when you look at what Brooks has done lately, because they've gotten healthy, he's been able to look a lot better, and he's made some good adjustments, I think, as he starts to learn this team and figure out who can give him what.
Well, Tony, I like to do this with players, especially with new players. I always say a player is always a common copy of somebody else. We all kind of structure our game after somebody.
No doubt.
And when I see Bradley Beal, they're just me, and because I got a little old school basketball knowledge in me too. I see a mixture of Vernon Maxwell,
Mad Max. One of my teammates.
Yes, I see a little Mad Max in a mixture of Latrell Sprewell when I watch Bradley Beal. I see somebody very athletic that still do the little thing. Like you said, he make the scoring look easy. He could do it with all that athleticism, but he choose not to. Sometimes I think he uses more IQ than anything.
Oh, he definitely uses IQ because he understands that his team needs him on a nightly basis. And the whole, I'm tired thing, you know, that just don't work when you're the man on the team. You know that, Fred. You can't be the MVP of the team and then talk about, oh, man, I'm tired. Now, your team may assess you and say, hey, look, we think you need to rest. We don't want to work it too hard and risk an injury or you running out of gas. But as far as being a leader And as far as playing the right way, meaning I know that I have to lead my team on a nightly basis. So I have to take care of my body and I have to play the most efficient basketball game that I can. That means not a whole lot of wasted motion, not doing unnecessary things, dribbling the air out of the ball in the process of trying to get a shot and alienating your teammates because they're standing over there watching you work, not even feeling involved. Brad has never been that kind of guy. So for me, when I look at him, I just see, I see some of Vernon Maxwell's range in his jump shot because I played with Max. Now listen, Smoot, they call him Mad Max for a reason. Now he would go off the rails on you too now. That's the, that's the thing. He would go off the rails on you, but he was always competitive and he always played with a lot of heart. And that's what everybody loved about him. When I look at him, I really see a slightly more versatile Ray Allen. You know,
I was thinking I was thinking Ray Allen because nobody really gives Ray the props for him getting to the hole. They only think 3-point shot with Ray.
Right.
But I hate to tell you, Ray was winning dunk contests for a
Ray could Olympics. Finish. He could finish over top of anybody, man. And I see that with Brad. But Brad's a little stronger, and he's got a little few more tricks in his bag, I think, than Ray.
I laugh because Tony said he was one of my former teammates. Well, as many teams you played for, who wasn't a former teammate for you, by the way?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I always tell people, man, I came in and literally in 1990, when it was all about the five man, it was all about David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing. Like, those were the guys I had to guard, like, on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
And now, when I went out, it was about LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, like, those guys. So, I feel like I transcend generations of basketball, and I watched the game change literally in front of my eyes while I was still playing it.
Brad, I'll tell you this.
The great part about it, Tony, is don't let Chick kill you with these death by a thousand mini cuts because he's good.
Are you kidding me, man? Tell you, Smoot, I went to college with this dude, man. This dude can't get under my skin, man. We go to
tell you something. So, Fred, I was at the college radio station WMUC for 1986, 87, 88. Yep. And so I covered Len Bias's final season, and then I went to the next coach and Bob Wade and covered them going through the dance, and there was Tony Massenberg. And for a guy who's in college radio, you know, I'm out there just trying to get some interviews and stuff. To a man, that squad treated me the same as they did the professional journalist, and that meant a lot. I'll tell you right now, Tony, that meant a lot to somebody trying to come up in this business to not be treated like, oh, that's just that stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, because I was trying to ask the right questions and, you know, and be professional about it. And that helped me to move on. So major props to all you guys, Gatlin, all those knuckleheads, all you knuckleheads.
Yeah, man.
And so here's the thing, Fred. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring Tony on is so he's now an author, a co-author of a book called Lessons from Lenny. So we're talking about the great Len Bias, who anytime you mention his name, the first thought you have is, oh, man, what would he have been? I remember Larry Bird saying, man, that kid would have elongated my career by 5 years because I wouldn't have to die for one basketball, right?
He's right.
Same thing with Red Auerbach. Red Auerbach was truly like, oh, my God, you know, when that all took place and you guys were living right through it. But you decided to co-write this book with Walt Williams, the Wizard, after three decades of talking about Lenny. So was there anything when you decided to put the words down, anything that surprised, did you learn anything that surprised you about Len Bias?
Nope. didn't learn a thing because
teammates.
Let me explain it to you, man. Think of me like Kobe Bryant if he had got an opportunity to go to the University of North Carolina and play 1 year with Michael Jordan.
Right.
Meaning, I love the dude. I mean, I loved him since I was in high school, man. I watched this dude play, man, and I was like, yo.
Yeah.
Like, I know everybody's talking about MJ, but, like, you seen the dude at Maryland? The 6'8 dude with the 40-inch vertical that shoots the J's? Like, and this was, like, my junior year. And I was a Carolina fan, right? I watched Carolina growing up down in Southern Virginia, man, because we got all ACC games.
Right.
And, like, MJ, Sam Perkins, James Worthy was my guy. Like, I loved all the big dudes, man, who, like, because I was trying to learn. And when I saw Len Bias play, man, I had never seen a 6'8 forward
elevate, shoot
long-range jump shots with the prettiest J. Smooth. This was one of the prettiest jump shots of all time. And I'm talking about a dude who was still in college at 6'8", 225 with a 40-inch vertical and the attitude. It ain't just the physical skills. See, we talk about MJ in the competitiveness and that dog mentality. Len Bias had that dog mentality. And I can, when you go back and you look at those games, I mean, Chick, you can tell them this. One of the best games was when we saw Len Bias as a sophomore go up against MJ. Oh. And they went back and forth, man. I mean, you knew you were watching the two best players in the ACC at that time.
It was the first time that we saw the tongue wag out of MJ, and he broke out the rock, he rocked the cradle.
Yeah,
I mean, literally, we're on the court side, and when he goes up and starts to make a, he doesn't go directly at the basket. All of a sudden, he like takes this little wide angle. And we're like, "What's he doing?" And all of a sudden, you just see him cup it. And you're like, "Oh shit!" That thing was like, "Oh, that was ugly." And then Len came right back. I mean, that was, those battles were amazing, and I was right there. And you know, so gosh, when were you born, Fred? What year?
I was born in the sweet, sweet year 1979. It was a 79. Great year.
All right, so yours
79 was a good year.
What?
Hey, I was, but Tony saying something that's so right. Sometimes when you play at a certain level, you still get to the league, or you get into college, and you still meet people that are just different. Right? Yeah. You know, sometimes you just meet people that just athletically, all us gifted. If you make it to the league, you are gifted. You are that 1% that can play at the top of your game. But sometimes some guys just walk in the room and you like, be damned. Why didn't Jesus give me some of that? You know, at the end of the day, like Sean Taylor had that type of presence where he would walk in the room. Like, that's just God gift to athletes right there. I remember the first day in the huddle. Sean walks in the huddle. He's standing beside LeVar. I don't know who's who, but I know one is my free safety and the other one is my linebacker. They are almost the exact same size. I like, and he running like that. I said, he's finna be problems. So sometimes you just know. You just know what's the difference.
You just know. Hey, listen, when I first got in the league, I showed up in San Antonio as a second round pick, 43rd pick in the draft. And I was a David Robinson fan. Saw him play at Navy and was thrilled at the opportunity to go and be able to play. Like, oh snap, we get to play alongside David Robinson. They played me at four, they played me at five. I can back him up. I don't care. I just want to play with him and learn from him. And you know, I was pretty athletic and I could outrun most big dudes. And so I remember the first day Larry Brown put us on the line, put all of the post players on the line. We had to run suicides. And I'm like, okay, I'm a rookie. I'm going to make my mark. I'm going to show them how fast I am. I'm going to smoke all these old dudes. And I'm going to smoke David Robinson, too. I don't care about it being 7'1". Smooth. When the dude took off, bro, it was like I took four or five steps, and he took one, and he was in front of me. And he beat me to the foul line, and then he beat me to the baseline, and then he beat me to the half-court line and back. And I said, okay, I'm gonna run him down. By the time we get on the other end, I'm going to run him down. He just got out on me because he got long legs. Man, let me tell you something, bro. When you talk about somebody that's just different, when David Robinson was young, you have never seen a more athletic seven-footer in your life. This dude was literally the fastest guy on the team at 7'1". Could nobody beat him in a foot race on that team, man. He's the only guy, only big guy, that ever beat me in the sprints. The only one.
Tony, don't feel bad. I got beat up by an old man. Darryl Green beat me running, and he was 40 years old. I was 21 years old. Never forget it. My first year. And you know, when I came to the Skins, we literally had Dion and Darryl Green and Champ. So I'm like, all right, Dion, my idol. Darryl Green is the great one. And I got this young dog and Champ. So, of course, Dion chilling. It's the offseason. He ain't doing too much.
Right.
And they was having these fastest Washington playoff contests at the time. I like, I get it. I ain't worried but two people. And I was thinking Champ was one of them. Man, Darryl Green beat me like a drum. Hey, first of all, it was me, Darryl, and Champ the last three. Right? We the last three. And I was like, okay. I was like, one of them 40 years old. And the other one, all I need to do is keep up with him. I'll beat him at the end.
There you go.
had Darryl Green crunk that Buick up and turned that corner with them Vogue tires on there and spit off on me. Hey, I had to say, you know what? I ain't got no more respect for you. That man 40 years old and still runs a 4.3 flat, and I'm serious. And they're just the way it was.
I can believe that. And that is definitely a dude I've heard about that was just different.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same way I feel about Jim Nantz. Anyway, listen. all right, so you played so many years in the league. Give me the one guy that you looked at the schedule. Well, maybe you didn't. You just, when it popped up, you went, oh, I got to face this dude. He's such a pain in the ass.
I played 4 and 5 pretty much my whole career. I played 3 one year, but I played 4 and 5 my whole career. And the one guy that I knew I was going to have my work cut out for me and I had to be on my P's and Q's, no more than a Diesel. So now when you 6'9", a little over 250 like me, and you got to deal with 7'1", 375, 380, which is what he might have been when he was in L.A., y'all seen the pictures of him when he was in L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
That was not – Shaq came in the league at 330, okay, in Orlando. And when you look at that Orlando picture, rookie year versus that picture in L.A. when he was the quote-unquote the Diesel.
A human billboard.
Yeah. That's easily another 45, 50 pounds.
Hey, Tony, I watched Shaq at LSU because of one Chris Jackson. I'm from Mississippi. Woo. And Chris Jackson, Mahmood Rauf, you understand?
Yes. Mahmood.
Listen to me. I went to the state championship game and watched the basketball game, Chris Jackson senior year. He hadn't missed a free throw for 3 years already, all right?
Wow.
I watched him go 15 for 15 on shots, 10 for 10 at the line, because you know he had Tourette's, so he did everything exactly the same way. Yeah. I watched Chris Jackson literally hit every shot he took in a state championship game. Followed him, watching him at LSU, and that's when I found Shaq.
I can believe it. He was also, Chico gonna love this, another one of my teammates. He was Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf by the time he became my teammate. And by the way, he had already been out the league, and then they brought him back in Denver. I mean, brought him back in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And he was with us for a year, his last year in the league. And I can honestly say he wasn't what he was in Denver, but, man, he would have practices sometimes. He would have a game here and there where you'd be like, man, that's the old Mahmoud / Chris Jackson right there. Because you would just see some stuff. And, by the way, athletically, he had lost a little bit. So he was really playing with his mind. Right. But he would even still then have games sometimes where he'd come off the bench and give us 15 to 20 in less than 20 minutes. Wow. But it didn't happen a lot. But you have nights where you just sit back and you look and you be like, man, how does that little dude do that?
He was Steph Curry before Steph Curry.
No question.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Fred, who was your Shaq in the NFL? Who was the guy you went, oh, crap?
See this guy again? Here go the thing. I love checking tall receivers. Like, my team knew it. Like, Jerry Gray, anytime we play T.O., Plexico, Randy, they're my guys. Mm-hmm. I want the tall guy. Okay. But the small guys gave me problems.
I believe that.
Hey, I can't lose sight of a guy that's 6'6", 240 pounds in Plexico, but you can lose sight of a Santana Moss. Yeah. You can lose sight of a Tyreek Hill or Steve Smith. Like, them the dudes you got to be able to, like, here go the difference. If I'm playing Randy and I'm playing T.O., I know T.O. and Randy going to try to beat me vertically. I better be ready to play jump ball. I better be ready for some power forward play. When I play against the smaller receivers, now I got to check the entire route tree. Like, I can't just put it down to 2 or 3 routes. They can run every route. And the question is, do you want to let Tyreek Hill catch the ball for 5 yards and shake you out your drawers? Or do you want him to run past you? They go to kicker. So if I had to say one guy that we battle and I just really enjoy my battles with him, is my golfing buddy now that I do my tournament with, me and Plexico. Like, I have went to war with Plexico more times than I can imagine. I told him one time, I think you shot me. And you ain't even had a gun on you.
Hey, listen, it's funny you say that, Smoot, because I always, as a dude, I 6'9 is not tall for a center when you play center. Mm-hmm. But whenever I play center, man, the battles with Shaq are the ones I love the most. Because it's like you playing with house money.
Right.
Yeah. You go in, so whatever you do, it's like, ooh, that was a nice move right there he made on Shaq. ooh, did you see he got that rebound? Because nobody expects anything. Yeah. The guys that would actually give me problems, Shaq wasn't that problematic. You know who the problematic guys were for me? The ones who were like 6'6", 240, the ones who could get up underneath me.
Yeah.
See, that was Davis, the thing. Bro. I could get up underneath Shaq.
That's why them Davis boys, Dale Davis, them boys.
Yeah. Oh, no. We had great battles, man. See, me and Dale still cool to this day because we've been going head up since Maryland. Like, them, Eldon Campbell, all my boys, like, we were going back and forth. But it's the dudes like a Elton Brand, a Clarence Witherspoon. It's those dudes who I struggled to back down because I couldn't get low enough to really push them the same way that Shaq, you know Shaq bigger and stronger than I am, but Shaq never backed me. When I got into him, I would force him to take jump shots or hook shot. And if you do that as guarding Shaq one-on-one like I did, man, you done your job. That's all you can do. But it's those shorter guys. It's funny to hear you say that. It's those shorter guys that would give me problems, man, not the big dudes. I love playing against the seven-footers.
Not a 5'6 guy like me that I wouldn't give you a problem at all?
Nah, man.
I wipe the glass with you, chick.
Oh, settle down. I can body you up, man. I got a big old lower half. So I'm going to go back to Maryland for a second. So do you remember David Robinson used to come to campus?
I don't think I was there. I heard that. Okay. Yeah, he didn't come to campus when I was there. He was already in the pros by my junior year.
Fred, we would sit in the Roy Rogers in campus right at the student Adele H. Stamp Union, and we'd sit there at the Roy Rogers. And every now and again, this is Len's junior year.
Junior year.
Right. You're sitting there in this thing, and you see some of the ballers over in the corner. And all of a sudden, look, David Robinson's not hiding from anybody. He's got to duck his head when he walks through the freaking – and you just –
literally,
over,
yeah.
And you see this guy duck his head to come through, and David is one of those majestic-looking dudes, right? Like, there's no wasted movement, right? He just kind of just strolls in.
He glides.
Mm-hmm. And he just walks in. And as a student, you hear the entire Roy Rogers go silent as this guy walks through. And then you hear everybody going, that's David Robinson. That's the Admiral. Oh, my God, what's he doing?
Admiral.
And then Len stands up and Speedy Jones, whatever. And they all start, you're like, oh, that's kind of a cool scene, you know? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. And David is such a likable guy, too, man. Yeah. So that story doesn't surprise me.
Right.
I got a ghetto story to match that, chick.
Okay.
This is what we used to have all the time in my hood in Mississippi. We thought we were just on cloud nine. Well, turns out now that I'm grown, I know why he was there. Like every summer, two or three times, Mr. T would come to our neighborhood.
Wow.
Listen to me. Mr. T, Baraka's himself, all right? And we was wondering, why is Mr. T coming to the ghetto two, three times a year? Turns out, the lady at the corner, Mr. T, evidently he banging them. Hey, that's the only thing bringing to the ghetto. Oh, and Mr. T, he'd come through in the drop top all the time, and we'd just be cheering for Mr. T. Until one time, like, why are we cheering for this dude? Like, why are we doing this? But hey, Mr. T used to come to my hood, man, all the time.
That is ghetto. All right, look.
Well, thank you.
We've kept Tony too long. All right, give me one last thing about this book. You wrote it. You put it out there. You and Walt did a great job of publicizing it. What have you heard on of people who've read this book, Lessons from Lenny? What have you heard? What's the response?
I've heard everything, chick, from I cried when I read the book because the story that you tell about the camaraderie and your idol and losing him and how it affected you brought tears to my eyes. I've had more people tell me that than they don't know me from a can of paint. Mm-hmm. And I've had other people say, wow, I never knew that you were such a huge Len Bias fan. I've had people come up to me and say, I never knew that Walt Williams was a Len Bias fan. He didn't play with Len Bias. Right. How's he a Len Bias fan? And my response is like, well, you got to read a little more of the book and you'll understand. Because if you read the whole book, you would know how that happened. And so I have not gotten one single negative reaction. And I think that's because the book comes from a positive place. Mm-hmm. There have been plenty of stories and documentaries done about Len Bias. There's still stuff out there that's not necessarily positive. And we understand how he died, and we're not trying to sweep that under the rug. Mm-hmm. The only thing that we were trying to illustrate was that he was inspirational, mm-hmm. that outside of the way he died, for everything that we know, he lived a very good life, and he had a lot of people who admired him and loved him. And so for us, he was a great person who made a tragic mistake. And that tragic mistake cost him his life. Mm-hmm. And so what higher price can you pay for a mistake? We've had others. He's not the first. We've had tons of other celebrities who also, by the way, were older than Lynn Byers, who had documented drug abuse histories. Mm-hmm. And those people succumbed to drug use, and their legacies were still celebrated. Nobody closed down Graceland when Elvis died of a drug overdose.
You're totally right, Tony, because we have to protect these legacies. We do it all the time with Sean Taylor. We literally, we know where it comes from to have a teammate die, and then everybody want to bring up, what about this, what about this? Let me tell you something. Y'all been watching us live our life since we were 16 years old playing basketball or football somewhere, and y'all done seen every mistake we done made, but we've seen none of your mistakes.
Exactly.
And you
want
to hold us so accountable to the point that you want us to be angels, knowing you can't cherry pick us at the ghetto. You're giving people millions at the age 20, and you expect no mistakes to be made. Like I said, we have a legacy trying to protect Sean's legacy from people trying to tear it down.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So for me, we just wrote that book and to illustrate to people, like, listen, let's be done with the hypocrisy, okay? Lynn Byers was not the face of the war on drugs. He was a victim of it, okay? Yeah. And he made a decision.
He made it.
It cost him his life.
Right.
Yeah. What more do you want after, what else is there to do? And by the way, nobody else got taken out in that. He wasn't in a car accident where he mm-hmm. took out a whole family and like, yeah, you've got a lot of family or people that have been hurt by his actions. The people who were hurt by Lynn Byers' actions were the people who loved him because he was no longer with us.
Right.
So that's not the same thing. So the same way that Michael Jackson still celebrated, the same way that Prince is still celebrated, same way that Marilyn Monroe is still celebrated, the River Phoenix. I mean, we can go down a long list of celebrities who didn't have their legacy not only abolished, they didn't even have their legacies tarnished
by this.
And so it took 28 years for the University of Maryland to retire Lynn Byers' jersey. Why is that?
Yeah.
The prodigal son of Maryland. So we wrote this book to illustrate that there was a lot of positive things to associate with Lynn Byers, more than just the way he died.
There are two things. I was there the night that they elected Byers into the Maryland Athletic Hall of Fame. I was, you and I have spent enough time with Dr. Byers, Lenice Byers, Len's mother, and the whole family.
Yep.
I'd love Fred to get her on the podcast. It will not be a rousing, fun time, but the goosebumps I already get thinking about her and how she speaks about her son and the legacy that he left and the legacy that she has forwarded for herself in speaking. She's an amazing person.
She's one of the most powerful speakers you will ever see.
Ever, ever, ever. And the other thing is, and I know that, Tony, you've said this in your talks. I saw the talk you gave to the Wizards as well, that he lost his life so that others might live. I am one of those guys. I was in school doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And I was interning at Channel 9, but still partying, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, no doubt.
And the night that he passed was the last night that I ever did it again, because I just, you talk to your system and you saw the grief from the friends and the family. And I thought to myself, well, what am I doing? I can't predict the future, but I can sure take this out of the equation. And I did. And so he did say, I know for one, he helped save my life.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I'm forever grateful. And I know he's done it.
If I had a dollar chip for everybody who came up and told me that also. I just didn't say that in the beginning, but I've had a lot of people kind of pull me to the side when we do book signings and stuff. And they say, hey, I'm sorry, you lost your idol, man, but I gotta be honest. When that happened to him, it pulled me out of a really dark time. I've had countless people tell me that. And so that's how I know that, just like his mother says in her speeches, Lynn touched more people's lives in death than he ever could have in life.
Yep.
He transcended being more than just a basketball
player. We learn from mistakes. We don't learn from good things. You enjoy good things. You learn from mistakes, either your mistakes or somebody else's.
Yep. That's what life is.
Well, Tony, I can't thank you enough. We can't thank you enough for joining us here on That's Your Opinion. I wanted to get you on. You're gracious with your time, and we had a lot of fun here. And I know that the folks who are listening, where can they find the book, by the way?
The book is available anywhere books are sold. You can get personal autographed copies from our website, lessonsfromlenny.com. All the books that come from our website are autographed by me and Walt Williams personally. So hit lessonsfromlenny.com or anywhere books are sold.
Tony, thanks for your time, man. Great catching up with you.
Thanks, guys.
I know it took you a while to crank that Buick up, but once it got rolling, you were rolling, baby.
Hey, yeah, baby, deuce in a quarter, baby. You know what it is.
Yeah, we won't get into how long it took Tony to fix his freaking Zoom call.
Whatever. Oh man, but I'm here, baby. I'm here.
Hey, that's all that matters. Tony,
that's
gonna
all
show
that matters, man.
All right.
All that
matters, baby. Tony, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it. All right.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yep. All right, that is Tony Massenburg, who has left the building. All right, anything else you want to get to here, real quick? Anything that's on your mind besides the cheerleading stuff? Which, by the way,
You never leave any minutes for us after the show. You just never leave in any minutes. We
what
say,
do you
want
to talk about?
You're going to be 52 minutes. You
we
say
can do
you
anything.
It'd be 51 minutes and 33 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great guest. What do you want?
I know. I love Tony. And I love talking. Hey, and I love talking to other sports, man. That's what it's about. It ain't
Absolutely.
Just about, you know, one sports. We talk everything.
Are you upset or not about them screwing up this whole cheerleading thing?
No, I'm not upset. I'm not upset. It's like, all right, ask yourself, especially with all the stuff going on over there, with the cheerleaders.
Yes.
You know, when you're going through something with people, you just divorce them, right? You know, you just divorce them. And I think Dan said, you know what? I'm through with cheerleaders, period.
Wow.
I don't even want them on the premises. Let's just get rid of the cheerleading team. That's what he's saying. Let's just get rid of them.
That's what it looks like. And that's not a good look, but that's wow.
Well, we still got the band.
Well, the band will stay there forever. Yes. What song will they play? What song did they play this year? Oh, they didn't play this year.
No, they didn't play anything. That's a great question, Chick. What song do they play? Because they don't have a song anymore. We don't have a song.
Right, right. So we got a name and a song, hopefully, the next year. We'll probably
play some Wale or something.
Well, what if the band played the song without the words? They just played the music without the words that go along with it.
They can do
that. No, because people going to sing it. You can't. And unless you're going to go hell to the Redwoods, that's the only way out. That's the only way out.
We'll see what they do. Anything else on your mind? Good to see you, by the way.
It's always good to see you, man. I am enjoying the NBA right now. Listen to me. LeVar Ball for Father of the Year. Because, hey, listen to me. LaMelo is out there balling, man.
He is balling.
You got to give him his pride. He looked like Penny Hardaway out there. That's who he looks like.
Wow.
I'm telling you, he's out there balling. I got to give LeVar his props. My Lakers ain't doing so well right now. AD,
you need AD back.
Hey, his eyebrow gets sprained every year. I don't know. He's kind of soft. We got to call a spade. And I'm really threatened by that Brooklyn Nets team. I'm really threatened.
They're dangerous right now.
People are upset.
I was on a podcast earlier about, you know, guys changing teams and stuff. In the NBA, it's easier. They didn't. Oh, it's Drew Pearson. By the way, I spoke to Drew Pearson today, my idol.
Hey, that's good, man.
I did his podcast, and apparently we're going to get him on. So I won't even talk about this. We're going to get him on next week.
All right.
Justin elected to the Hall of Fame, and, you know, Cowboy.
Well-deserved. Took too long.
No question. So we'll get into more about Drew and what happened during that podcast. But he was saying, you know, these quarterbacks who are trying to go to different teams can't have that. We can't let the league. And he goes, and the owners won't let the league do this, that they're going to, and I said, collude against the quarterbacks who are trying to switch teams. And he just doesn't think it's going to happen. He thinks that they'll end up. He thought Deshaun Watson won't play.
We've never had a voice like we had now. The Twitter sphere,
right?
It's made it too real. It's made it everybody's business. It used to just be between you, the team, and your agent. Yeah. Now it's everybody. And guess what? The one thing Russell doing a good job with is killing them by saying nothing. He's saying literally nothing. But Seth, you know what? I don't know if this is going to work out no more. And the last thing you want is a disgruntled quarterback. And guess what? These front offices are like, well, we're going to have to get something for him. Deshaun Watson, regardless of what they want, he will not play for the Texans again. I'm sorry. Now you got to ask yourself, are you going to press yourself and do it after the draft? What client? Now you're messing up how much you get back for him and your chance to get him a replacement. If I'm them right now, I call Washington.
Wow.
I call the Dolphins. And I try to get Tua and some first-round picks. I call Carolina, and I get Teddy Bridgewater and some first-round picks. And I take McCaffrey off.
All right, but if you're Washington, what are you getting?
I'm going to get Daron Payne. I'm going to give you this year's first round, next year's first round, and next year's second round.
Would you call Jacksonville? See if they would trade the Trevor Lawrence pick for Watson?
No, because I already know what coach going to do. Coach want a fresh start with everything. He want his quarterback to be untouched, and he want his quarterback to be young so he can ride him like the horse he is. So, no, I don't think Jacksonville going to get that call, but I know Texas ain't going to do Deshaun no favor and send him to a team he wants to be at either.
Right. By the way, did any of us piss off Taylor Heineke?
No, what happened?
You didn't get the email?
He didn't get the email.
I've been asking for the better part of 3 weeks to get Taylor Heineke on the show. Get nothing. I went to his agents. I tried to go through him on Instagram. Got nothing back. Then I went to his agent, two of them, and one blew me off for 2 weeks. And then I just got an email today saying, listen, we respectfully decline. He really wants to get ready for the off-season program. It's 20 minutes.
I don't know. I interviewed him before. We had good fun on the interview.
That's what I'm saying. So it must be me.
He might be getting bombarded with requests now that as of now, he's the starting quarterback for the Washington team.
But he can do what we're doing right now. He can sit in his house for 20 minutes on a Zoom.
But maybe he just don't want to buy into that. Maybe he just want to focus on being the best football player. Fair. I play with a lot of people that just did not like interviewing. Lots of them didn't like interviewing.
Art Monk famously was not fun of the interview, and that cost him years before he got in the Hall of Fame.
Do you know where Art Monk went to college? Hey, do you guys know where Art Monk went to college?
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
I just had.
And he was a running back.
I just wanted to throw it out there. Make sure you guys know.
That he's an orange man.
Yep.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. So was Scott Hansen, by the way. So there you go.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, Scott Hansen is an orange man.
Yep.
Yes, he is.
Loud and proud.
Well, at least we know the last thing that'll be in Syracuse, the city, is the college, because it's nothing else, no other reason to go to Syracuse.
There isn't. No. I agree with that. I won't argue.
Well,
that.
There's one other thing. Dinosaur barbecue.
Yes, absolutely. That's correct.
That is some of the best barbecue. Not talking about the South, but when you talk anywhere in Northeast, dinosaur barbecue.
Yep.
That there are no words. Shit.
Yeah, there are no words how good that is.
I just forego Syracuse and go to Buffalo and get buffalo wings. Why not do both?
Right. Why not do both? They're not that far.
Not
you
a big
can
buffalo
go
wing guy.
There and then.
What? How could you not like buffalo wings?
Oh, they're fine. We're just sticking so much stuff on them now. You gotta.
First of all, my mama told me never trust a man that don't like buffalo wings. It says a lot
them.
About.
I like
character.
Them. I just it's overkill. Come on. Give me some ribs. I had ribs tonight on a slow cooker. That was good.
Well,
ribs in a slow cooker.
Ribs, there are just as many sauces at this point for ribs as there are for wings.
I don't.
Like, you go to the basics. With wings. Go to the basics. Go to, your basic buffalo sauce.
When I do leftover ribs the next day, then I bring in the sauces. But the first go round, it's just the ribs.
See, my leftover ribs turn into a Fred rib sandwich. See, I make a Fred rib.
A Fred rib.
Yeah, it's my common copy of the McRib, just like the Big Mick. I make the Big Mick instead of the Big Mac.
How's your son doing in football?
Oh, he's doing real well. He's actually ninth grade, but he played varsity too now.
Wow.
Yeah, he doing wide receiving cornerback, just like his dad, a chip off the old block wagon. That's just the way it goes. It's in his blood.
Are you schooling him? Are you going through stuff?
I am his Jedi teacher, Master Yoda. All right. See, what I do, I'm more of his trainer. I train him, but I'm abnormal by letting other people coach him.
Smoot, let's say in a hypothetical situation, you were to get Heineke out there to play quarterback. Your son lines up at receiver and your cornerback, who wins that matchup?
Oh, I win off of knowledge alone.
I knew the answer. I just want to hear
you're popping,
you say it.
You're popping both hamstrings, by the way.
No. My son hates to lose to me, right? But he's at that age where I know sooner or later he's going to finally beat me at something, all right?
Yeah.
So we had this little thing. Because anytime we play against each other, we bet something. That's my thing. I make them do push-ups. I'll be like, you got to run 5 miles that way and come back home. All right, so I make crazy bets with him. So Thanksgiving, I was like, you're going to have to run like to the next county and run back if you lose. He was like, all right. So we playing basketball. He running around trying to tie me out. He's smart. He know how to dribble around. So we get to like the last 5 shots. I pull the old man on him. I just start backing him up, backing him down every time and just laying the ball up, and he lost it. When I say he lost his mind. But it also made me understand the day coming soon. The day coming soon, and when he beat me, he'll never let me forget it.
Right. Very cool. My kids, oldest, had no desire to play. He played in, you know, Little League, but once he got to high school, he was done. The middle one played soccer, not my sport, so. But then there's no competition there. Although,
so in the Hernandez household, is no competition, no thumb wrestling, no nothing.
No, I tell you what it is. It's when we unleash the ping pong table, then it's ugly, ugly. It is sweat. It is stank down in the basement, and I'm ruthless. You know,
how far back from the ping pong table are you? That's how you know how good you are. How far back do you stand from the ping pong table? Are you
I don't do the big sweeping thing, but I played as a kid, you know, at the pool playing ping pong. You played against I'm one of three people of color in the neighborhood. Okay. So you get on that ping pong table playing against these older white men.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, you know, and they got their girlfriend, you know, and you're like, you're, you know, 12 years old. Well, fuck that. I mean, I played and played and played, and I knew all the spins, everything, right? So, and I was a defensive player, so I would just tire them out. They'd have to make a mistake because I got to everything, and that's what I do with my boys is I just keep
top spin.
They get all upset because it just at some point they make a mistake, and I'm ruthless at the end. Just, you know, then all of a sudden I'll bring out the offensive, and it's like, what the hell happened? It's a great competition. It's a lot of fun. But I remember those days back in the day when the girlfriends would start chirping at me in a good way, like, look, he's much better than you, and then just pissing them off, just getting all mad, and then stomping. I like to shake the hands afterwards. I got no handshakes as a youngster, none.
I once played a game of ping pong and ding dang.
I'm what? Ping pong and ding dang.
What is ding dang?
You ain't never seen the movie Balls of Glory. It's about ping pong, and it's the stupidest movie of all time. It is about them going to a ping pong championship. You gotta watch.
I have seen that.
And it's called what?
Ain't it Balls of Glory? Balls of Glory?
Balls of Glory?
I think so. There's Blades of Glory, and then there's Balls of Glory, I believe.
All right. Well, we'll have Amish watch it, and then the next podcast you have to give a synopsis of how you viewed the movie. I'll try to take a look at it. All right, that's it for That's Your Opinion. Next week, hopefully, we're working on Drew Pearson, and who knows what else. What else is going on next week? Anything? I don't think so. Who knows?
No, life is good right now. Life states are opening back up. Evidently, COVID is over.
Hey,
you know?
And it's March. Texas. It's March. You know what season that is. It's college basketball season. So
Listen
to me. College basketball has lost me this season. I am sorry. They have not grabbed me. It has no star power. It has no star power right now. It's no Zion.
You're not going to be excited for March Madness, at least? Because I agree with you that the season has not been as exciting, but I'm still, you know, I feel like I'm still, like, the first weekend of the tournament, I feel like I'm still going to, you know, I'm going to be into it.
This is the year to just blindly pick somebody, because it's no front runner. Everybody going to say Gonzaga. Yeah, they can play. They can say Baylor. Baylor looked like the Detroit Pistons of 2003. All they do is play defense. Listen to me. I don't know. College basketball hasn't caught me.
That's the best part, though, during March Madness, is you have no idea with all these seedings and how this is going to work out. You have no idea who can beat who. I'm getting ready to call Ball State and Toledo this weekend, right?
Ball State.
Ball State.
I got a degree at Ball State.
Well, that's a whole different. No, you didn't. You only went. Don't get me in trouble. Don't get me.
Well, and
that's Dave Letterman's fraternity, by the way, or school.
What if Duke does not make the tournament?
Who cares? I don't even care about Duke anymore.
The Blue Bloods ain't got to make it all the time.
Chick, I'm what? Surprised by your answer, man. You're why? A turp. Because you. What do you mean? Why? You're a turp.
I don't care about Duke anymore. They're not in my conference.
That's supposed to. Okay.
I love Duke. Okay. Coach K can go bite me.
Just
he
because Syracuse isn't in the same conference as Georgetown doesn't mean that rivalry.
Is it bad for me to say that I also did an undergrad at Morehead University?
I think that's probably not appropriate. But you know,
it's a college.
It is a college. Not, but I don't think that's the school that you went to, and that's nowhere near the school.
How do you know my background? You don't know. You don't know. I could have got kicked out of Morehead.
You went to Mississippi State.
Fred Smoot did not get kicked out of Morehead, but T-Bags Johnson might have.
Oh, here we go.
He didn't get kicked out of there. No, yes, they did.
You've lost your minds, you two imbeciles. What the hell?
Hey, I like to watch the Pac-10 football, too. I love to watch the Beavers of Oregon State versus the Trojans of USC.
See, I knew that was coming. And folks who are watching or can't see this don't know what I'm doing to you right now. But those who are seeing it, I mean, you're unbelievable. Do you talk to your son with that mouth? Is that what's going on here?
Of course I do. Of course. You got to chips off the old blocks.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Anything else? Anybody got anything else? Nothing?
Just waiting on graduation. It's a late graduation I got coming from Ball State University.
You got a bunch of stuff coming. Don't you? All right, that's your opinion with Chicken Smoot and the Amish one. We appreciate your time. Thanks for listening. We are here on the Believe Podcast Network, and we thank our guest Tony Massenburg for stopping by.
Great guy, I love Tony.
Great dude. And by the way, he is 50 plus years old now and still built like a brick shit house. It's annoying.
Hey, sometimes it's all about the DNA, my friends. It's all about the mom and the dad.
Yeah, well, if I could find my mom or my dad, I could tell you that was true. All right, that's it for That's Your Opinion on the Believe Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.